Welcome into episode 5 of The Sports Page. I'm the host, Paige DeMacos, here with Jake Arians. We are talking week 2. We're going through all the matchups. We're giving you our score predictions. Jake, first and foremost, your thoughts on week 1, because, man, it was sloppy.
It was ugly. I think you've learned in the preseason people are scared to play their big-time players because they're scared of injuries. None of them were ready to play. David Johnson, before the injury, didn't look very good. Le'Veon Bell, no numbers. Zeke put up decent numbers but was tired. Wasn't really ready to go. I think you saw a lot of receivers. I think you're going to see a little bit of that this week as well. Probably the toughest week of the year to pick is week 2 because you have overreactions and underreactions, all that kind of stuff. Week 1 overall, I think that the defenses were more ready to play than the offenses. And a little bit of rust all the way around.
Yeah, it was very rusty. I thought just overall themes for week 1 was just rusty. And I've heard a lot of different opinions about what we should do to make this week 1 better, and a lot of what was being talked about was shortening the preseason so players actually start like just 2 games instead of 5 in the Arizona Cardinals case this year. So some of these guys like David Johnson are playing in a preseason game and then they don't look so rusty when they come out in week 1.
My opinion, they need to change the CBA again. One of the things the players fought for that I think really bites them now is less practice time, less pad time in the offseason, extend OTAs. Extend what you can do in the offseason. Maybe start April 1st again, but you have no practice time until OTA start. That's not helping anybody. You're professionals. This isn't college. We're not worried about you going to class, you know, whatever. They need to go back and address that because I think it is really affecting things in week 1. But the whole preseason, I don't know that they're going to shorten it. TV ratings still, you know, rule all.
Yeah.
But I think you could help a lot of that without – because you're still going to have a 6-week break before training camp. But you can get a lot more work done from April 1st through the end of June, middle of June, before you break for, you know, for actual training camp. I think that would help a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, yeah, like you, when the Cowboys-Cardinals Hall of Fame game, which is a preseason game, week 1, is outdoing the Stanley Cup Game 6 final, they're not going to get rid of that. I know it's it's happy world where we talk about it and we go, yeah, it makes sense because the preseason sucks. But guess what? We all watch it.
We all watch it, and we all base a lot of stuff off of it.
Yep.
But we've all learned in week 1 it's you really can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of predictions that you might have in week 1, if it was week 4, they'd probably come true. But a lot of those guys weren't ready to play. Those offenses were rusty. The defenses overall were more prepared to play in week 1.
Yeah, it's easier to prepare, I think, defensively. Offensively, it looked out of sync would be a good way to put it. And the first matchup, talk about out of sync.
Whoa.
Houston Texans, Cincinnati Bengals, both teams looked horrible in week 1. Horrible. Now, Houston is on the road at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, a 6-point favorite against the latest line, which I can't believe. But both of these teams looking to rebound because we know if you go 0-2, you have a 10% chance of making the playoffs. So what do you see happening in this game?
Very interesting matchup for week 2 based off what I saw last week. Both offenses were horrendous. That being said, there's no way Andy Dalton plays that bad 2 weeks in a row. He'll bounce back. He's a professional. He's a tough guy. Thick skin. He's been there and done that. Deshaun Watson was better when they put him in. That offense moved a little bit. The offensive line was a sieve before that. He can move. He's still a rookie. He's going to make mistakes that are probably going to cost you games, and they're going on the road for his first start. As good as that defense can be, they didn't really show up that last week that much. I've got the Bengals at home 20-17. I'm basically taking them because they're a more solid team at home and they're playing a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think this is going to be another kind of ugly-ish game just because I don't believe in either of these teams. I'm not overreacting to week 1. I just don't think – I think it's too early to say Deshaun Watson's going to be effective. He's a rookie. At the end of the day, he's going to make mistakes. I like him a lot. I know I've been very high on him all the time. But they were anticipating that Tom Savage was going to be the guy for at least half of the season. And what he did in the first half was nothing less than atrocious for a quarterback.
To Deshaun's credit, teams don't have a book on him yet.
For
sure. There's no book of film. So
it could be that Dak Prescott type of thing as last year.
Brian's a really savvy coach. He could put a nice game plan in with some bootlegs, different stuff that they haven't seen. So they're going to have to play a little bit more sound and not as aggressive on defense as they would like to in Cincinnati. I just think they have more. There's no way that offense plays that bad again. And if they play solid, putting up 20 points shouldn't be that hard at home.
Yeah, we'll see if they simplify that offense for Deshaun Watson because I think
they have to
if he's going to be successful. Second game of the week, Cleveland at Baltimore. Baltimore getting 8.5 points, an overreaction I think a little bit to maybe what Baltimore did in week 1. Cleveland overall looked pretty good against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think we nailed that prediction preseason. If you're a Browns fan, there's a lot to be happy about. I don't know how many of those translate to wins.
Yeah.
But you're a solid team.
But you're at least in the game.
Yeah, you have some, there's some pieces there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a rookie quarterback playing for you. That's not going to win, you know, translate to a lot of wins either. Baltimore was really solid. That defense is good. It's not as good as it was last week.
Yeah,
four interceptions and a fumble and five turnovers. But their offense is still not very good. They took some shots that paid off. That's a really hard formula to play. Think your defense is going to play that good, and you're going to take some shots, and you're going to hit that many. I've got the Ravens winning at home, 23-17. I still think Cleveland's going to be in a lot of games.
I agree.
And I don't think they know any better until later in the season.
Yeah.
I'm not a big believer in, like, walking away with, okay, we lost, but that was a moral victory. But they're a bunch of young guys.
Yeah,
that moral victories can mean a lot. That's a fan base that it can mean a lot. That could build to something very good later on. And I don't think they know any better other than if we keep this thing close, maybe we can win. But if we don't, we're still building something.
Yeah,
and I think they're going to be in a lot of games.
Yeah, I'm not picking Cleveland to go on the road and beat Baltimore. But when you looked at what they did last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers team, if Antonio Brown is not on the field making ridiculous catches, the Pittsburgh Steelers lose that game to the Cleveland Browns.
Everybody on that Steelers offense, which you know how high I am on, was rusty, other than Ben and Antonio, because they already have a built-in chemistry and timing. There wasn't a lot else going on. Le'Veon Bell wasn't ready to play after missing the entire training camp. That's not going to happen later on. So I think the Browns kind of caught them at the right time. But they did. They hung in there. They played hard. Deshaun, Kizer didn't play. He didn't hurt him.
No.
He was solid.
No,
you know?
He looked pretty good for a rookie.
I think, like I said, I mean, Hugh Jackson, his history with young guys, as long as he plays in that conservative nature, I think they're going to be fine.
So score prediction again? 23-17. I like it. I'll stick with that. I was going to say 24-17 just to be a little different. All right, Buffalo at Carolina. Carolina getting 7 points. Carolina looked better than I was kind of expecting them to in week one.
Was a weird game. Right?
It was a weird game. I think overall with Carolina, I'm still in wait and see mode. But Cam, I'm waiting to see if he's actually going to make that adjustment long term. It looked like it was kind of going in that direction. But I got to see it like 8 weeks through that he's still kind of moving in the direction that they want him to.
My thing was watching some of that was, were they solid? Or San Francisco bad? I was expecting more from San Francisco, to be honest with you. I don't think they're going to win a lot of games, but they're kind of like the Browns. I like what they're building, especially in that front seven on defense. They didn't do much. I'm not expecting a ton from San Francisco's offense, but was Carolina's defense back to where it was a couple years ago? Were they that good? Or what did we see? That was another one of week one things that makes week two pretty tough to pick.
Yeah.
That being said, I still like the Panthers 27-20. Just because I think there's questions on both of those teams that we didn't really get answers to in week one.
Yeah.
That was kind of a tough one to pick.
Yeah, it's a tough one to pick. Buffalo looked okay in moments. Carolina looked good in moments, I would say. But against, I don't know what to buy into in the 49ers yet. I don't know what that team is. I know both of us like defensively them a little bit more than maybe most. And offensively, like we've said, they're just coasting through this season until they can find a quarterback.
Yeah, and the Bills, Shady McCoy leading the NFL in rushing right now. I don't know how long that can continue. They don't have a lot else when we talked about them in the past. I mean, they're capable of scoring 20, but if Carolina's defense is back, it wouldn't surprise me if they can't score more than 13.
Absolutely.
That one's going to be kind of a tough one to pick.
All right, probably the ugliest team that we watched in week one was Indianapolis. Arizona Cardinals go on the road to Indianapolis. They're getting 7 points. The Cardinals need this one.
Cardinals weren't much prettier than the Colts.
No, the Cardinals were not much prettier than the Colts, but the expectations, I would say, are different for the Cardinals than they are for Indianapolis because without Andrew Luck, that team is nothing. Legitimately nothing.
We've talked about him. It's a challenging roster without him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That being said, this is the NFL.
For sure, absolutely.
There's guys making a lot of money. There's a lot of pride. There's coaches on that staff that are fighting for their jobs and their pride. And they're playing at home. And like you just said a little while, it's hard to win on the road in the NFL. I don't care who you're playing. I don't care what the line is, any of that kind of stuff. It's hard to win on the road.
Absolutely.
The other thing that Cardinals have, I don't know if it's a benefit or a detriment. Who's the quarterback? Are you preparing for Scott Tolzien or Jacoby Brissett? If Brissett plays, it's a limited playbook. He's only been there 10 days.
For sure.
But
it's a different guy.
You don't really know what to prepare for.
Yeah.
Tolzien, as much crap as he's taken this week, wasn't that bad if you really break down the film. A couple passes were bad, but he actually did a couple things. T.Y. Hilton fumbled inside his own 20.
Yeah.
There were some things that unraveled that made that score pretty bad. And they didn't get a lot of pressure on Jared Goff. So he looked great. Overreaction, I think, of how much people are on the Rams right now. The Cardinals had that thing in hand in the first half, didn't take advantage of it. Carson Palmer has to play better this week. We know they've got a bunch of injuries on that offense. They're getting Kim Dichie back on defense. That defense, I think, can be dominant in a lot of games. I think this is one of them.
Yep.
And I think that defense is getting to the point now without DJ that they think they need to carry it. They need to be the identity of this team. And I think they're right. If that's the case, I still got the Cardinals 24-13 winning a big one on the road. I think they still have a lot more than the Colts. Bruce Arians, first time going back to Indy since 2012. I think that'll be a pretty cool reaction from the crowd.
For sure. I just don't know how Indianapolis can score points. That's why I agree with you. When I looked at this game, I said 24-10 almost, because I don't see this offense putting up nearly as many points as they can't. They're just not.
Offensive line is not very good. Running back situation.
They just don't have anything. They don't have much. And I think, like you said, I think the defense for the Cardinals knows they kind of have to have this swagger about them now going forward because David Johnson goes down, that they need to really step up their game. And I don't want to say David Johnson going down is a good thing, because it's not. He's one of the best running backs in the NFL. But I do think that the defense now feels that pressure to go out and be like, you know what, we got to win football games for this team.
And I think that's what has to happen at this point. And Carson Palmer, again, is kind of like Andy Dalton. He's not playing like that 2 weeks in a row. He never has.
Sure.
He bounces back. He's resilient. I think they still have a lot left. That offensive staff is really good. I think they can game plan for a lot of teams. They're still going to be really tough. Losing David Johnson is definitely not easy. But this week, I think they can go on the road and bounce back and then kind of solidify things and go into Monday Night Football and see how they are.
Yeah, 24-10 Cards. Next game, a tough one. Tennessee, a team a lot of people were high on going in, a disappointment losing at home to Oakland. Oakland, a lot of people high on as well, looked pretty good in week one. Looked like one of the few teams I thought looked a little bit more put together than most of the other teams. They're going on the road to a team that surprised a lot of people, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tennessee in divisional games is 1-16 on the road. I saw that stat the other day.
Wow.
Against the spread. 1.5 points they're favored by going into Jacksonville. I'm not saying Jacksonville's going to win this game, but their defense looked better than what I thought they were going to be, and they have two elite cornerbacks, and it's going to be tough to throw on that football team.
Well, we talked about going into last week. There's a ton of talent on the defense, but how good are they, and how much does that translate? Their offense played okay and didn't put them out on the field a ton. It's kind of like the Seattle thing. They're going to play a couple more minutes a game. If that offense doesn't play well, that's not going to translate to a lot of success. Did we learn more about Jacksonville's defense playing a really bad Texans offense last week? Or did we learn that the Titans just didn't really show up? Why do you kick an onside kick if you're that solid of a team to open the game? That made no sense to me whatsoever. You're solid on offense, defense, special teams. You don't need to do that. The Raiders played like I thought they would. Tennessee didn't play like I thought they would. I thought they'd be more explosive than that, play a little more solid. I don't know that we learned that much about Jacksonville. That game was so weird. Calais Campbell had 4 sacks and they had 10 overall. They're playing at home. I've got the Titans winning 24-20. I think they show up as a much more solid team than Jacksonville overall, and I just don't think that offense is going to play. Lose Allen Robinson for the year.
Yeah, big
huge
deal.
For them.
For sure.
I think they kind of come back to earth a little bit.
Yeah, 24-20 is about right. You talked me into it. I do think that Jacksonville is going to be in a lot more games than people expected, and I just think that defense is – cohesively proved me wrong, basically, that I saw a lot of pieces, and I said, what are you? And the other thing is Calais Campbell looked dominant in that game, and I don't know that it's going to last all season long, but they do play in that division where they're playing Indianapolis twice, they're playing the Texans twice, they're playing Tennessee twice, so can they compete with Tennessee in that division if Houston's not going to be very much? Maybe.
I don't really know. Like my pick of them going into the season,
yeah,
of how many games they win, because I agree with you. I think they're going to be in a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to quarterback play.
For sure.
Now you just lost one of your best weapons for that quarterback. But if he doesn't turn it over,
that's the
Fournette
big thing.
And Fournette can run for 90, 100 yards, 110 yards every week, you're going to be in a lot of games. That's kind of the kicker for me is, can they take it away and take a little bit off of the Bortles for them?
Yeah, if they do that, I think they can be very successful. All right, Philadelphia at Kansas City. Kansas City getting 5.5 at home. Kansas City, a team that pretty much shocked everybody going on the road and handedly taking down the New England Patriots. They, like we've talked about before, have an unbelievable home advantage. Playing at Arrowhead is very tough. It's going to be very loud. That fan base is going to be through the roof because of how they performed in week one. I'm really high on Kansas City. I was high on them before, but I think going on the road and beating New England is impressive. I don't care if it's week one or week 10. It's impressive.
Especially when New England's 4-0 coming off the Super Bowls. They're unbelievable in prime time. That was the opener of the season. For them to lay an egg like that,
doesn't happen.
Shocking, busting assignments. That being said, my pick was New England because I didn't think Kansas City had the firepower to hang in there. New England busted a lot of assignments on defense. A lot of those big plays weren't really going to happen if they play sound defense. I think Kansas City comes back to earth. I picked them to win the division. You know how high I am on them. You know how much I love Arrowhead. I've got them winning this game 27-21, but I saw from Philly as one of the teams that I thought I was going to see. Better than the Redskins. They kind of showed up. They did enough to win the game. They were solid, had a couple big plays. Really tough place to go on the road and play. Andy Reid, Peterson, nice little thing there.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the Chiefs, losing Eric Berry is gigantic, by the
Huge.
Way. Can we say that?
Yeah.
Locker room as much as on the field, maybe more. But I think they can overcome it. And I think they're just too much at home. So I've got 27-21 Chiefs.
Yeah, if this game is in Philadelphia, I think it's much more interesting. But on the road for Carson Wentz, the young quarterback who did look good in his week one, I think he's one of those guys I'm really paying attention to see how much of a step forward he takes.
He's got a chance to be a superstar. He's got all the tools in the world to do it. I don't know if his receiving core is good enough for him to become a superstar yet, but he's right there.
Yeah, he's got all the tools, like you said, and if he's surrounded by the right pieces going forward, maybe he's somebody you really like. I like them 27-20. I think they're a really good football team. I'm high on Kansas City like you are. All right, New England at the Saints. Both of these teams 0-1. I'm never a fan of picking any team. I don't care if New England's on the road when Tom Brady has this revenge factor.
And I wouldn't want to be New Orleans.
No, and I try not to buy into storylines too much, but this is just, it just fits right in. New Orleans defense is not very good. They made Sam Bradford look like Heisman Sam Bradford.
Let's give him credit, though. He led the NFL and broke the record for completion percentage last week, and he was 80% again.
Yeah, he looked good.
He looked phenomenal. He took a couple in the chin and delivered some deep out routes
for
on
sure.
the money. He was awesome. But it was against that defense.
Yes.
So I don't know. That's the same thing. How much do we learn about them? I don't have to learn anything about New England. I know the talent's there. Belichick and Brady don't lose back-to-back weeks, period. They don't get embarrassed on national TV to open the season and not show up the next week. It doesn't matter if New England shows up or New Orleans shows up. They don't have enough on defense to hang in there.
Yeah.
And they still have an identity crisis. I told you that last week. Adrian Peterson yelling at Sean Payton. They can try to spin that however they want. He's upset. Those running backs are not going to be happy. You have three. Kamara's a rookie. I still think he's the best fit for that offense.
For sure.
I think he's the guy that plays more than Ingram and Peterson moving forward. And they get back to what they do, and that's Breeze and throwing it around. But they don't have enough to compete. I've got 34-24 New England.
Yeah, New England 6-point favorite. Latest Vegas line is 6-point favorite. And I would say I'm with you. I think this is a 10-point. I just think New England with that whole revenge thing. Like I said, I don't like to buy into the storylines, but this is less about revenge and more about the fact that New England does not lose back-to-back games and the Saints defense is not good.
And New England doesn't have a point to prove. They have to win a game.
Yeah, no.
They can't start 0-2.
For
sure.
They're
going on the road. We've already said it's hard to win on the road, and it doesn't matter who you're playing. They want to see what – Belichick doesn't care. He wants to win and go watch the tape and see what he prepared that week. That's what he sees on tape.
For sure.
There's no revenge there.
No.
The fans want that. Storylines want that. Brady probably wants that.
Yeah,
that's
for
how
sure.
he plays with that chip on his shoulder. But they just want to play solid team football and get back to what they're trying to do and get better. I just don't think the Saints have enough to hang in there.
A team that we just talked about vaguely, and that's the Minnesota Vikings going on the road to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, latest 5.5-point favorite. Both of these teams, Minnesota impressed me a lot more than I thought I was going to see. I knew their defense was good, but Dalvin Cook looked really good. Sam Bradford looked really good. And
Thielen, I love.
Yeah.
No, Diggs is good, but he moved to the outside. He was explosive, big-time night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to overhype that offense, but I do think that they looked really good, and they definitely did surprise me. Pittsburgh is a team we both like, and you can speak better to it than I can, but Pittsburgh's a tough place to go and win a football game.
They don't lose at home. To the Steelers, they lost at the Browns by only winning by three. They're going to want to prove a point and get a lot better this week. I almost want to have like a ding, ding, ding upset alert because I like the Vikings coming into the year. I really did.
Dang, are you picking the Vikings to
I'm
beat
not,
Pittsburgh?
But I'm right there. I have two of them this week that I'm like, if you want to if you want to throw something out there, it could happen. They can go because that team travels. That
mm-hmm.
defense is solid. They can run it. Bradford's not going to make a lot of mistakes. You have three receivers in Rudolph, Thielen, Diggs, and Pittsburgh's defense is not that good. Their offense was not great last week. Do they shake off all the rust and get back? 27-23 Pittsburgh is what I've got right now.
Okay.
But it wouldn't surprise me.
If the score was reversed.
It would not surprise me.
I'm not going to lie. I looked at this game. I
can't bring myself to do it.
I know.
But I'm close.
Okay, well, I'm going to do it. Minnesota goes on the road and beats Pittsburgh. It's like 27-26 or something, 27-24, something really close. Maybe a last-second field goal. It's 24-24, and Minnesota marches down the field and hits a field goal, wins the game. I feel like I'm overhyping Minnesota and buying into them too much, but, man, they showed me a lot in week one.
They looked good, and yeah. It wasn't just that they were playing the Saints. I mean, that defense still showed up against Drew Brees in a really good offense.
For sure.
But I like what that offense can do. They're very multiple. They can do some play action. They can put Sam Bradford in the shotgun. They can run it. I think they're going to be right there. I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, and I love Pittsburgh, but I can see
it might be what Pittsburgh needs.
Yeah, a little.
They don't lose at home a lot, but if they lost that game after not showing up in week one, fans get a little unruly in Pittsburgh, and
that's an understatement.
You put a little extra pressure on to come back and bounce back and kind of perform like you should see.
Yeah, and Le'Veon looked very rusty in week one, was not the guy that you – but that a lot of that has to do with the fact he didn't play at all in the preseason.
He wasn't even a practice.
No.
There's a difference if you're practicing and you're not playing in preseason games. He wasn't even there.
Yeah, no. So that could take a couple weeks for him to really get in the groove. The next game we're looking at, Chicago at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay obviously did not play week one, so they have an extra week of rest. They're getting ready for this football game. 7 points at home. They're getting – Chicago looked a lot better than I thought they were going to be. They showed me that they can at least stay in a football game with a very good Atlanta football team. Do I think they're going to stay in every football game? No. But they did, like the Browns. I hate that the Bears are in the Browns category now, but they should.
Call the Ravens from 2 years ago. They had all those injuries, and they showed up every week, and you didn't really want to play them because they were going to play it close.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. I think Glennon knows that he has to be the best he can be to keep Trubisky off the field, and he carried that team in the fourth quarter.
So the Bears have a couple things going for them this week. The Bucs didn't play last week, so that rust could be there. Glennon knows that team and that defense very well. There's a lot of emotion going on with Tampa Bay, with the Hurricane, all that kind of stuff, the reason that they didn't play in week one. I think all that stuff helps them keep it close. I'm high on Tampa.
Okay.
I'm high on Jameis Winston's intensity. I think it's going to be even more that he had to sit out another week. They get Quan Alexander back on that defense. It was questionable if they play last week. I've got 27-17, but I think the Bucs start slow. I think it's kind of like my Pittsburgh pick from last week. I think that offense doesn't get clicking until later.
Second half.
Yeah, the Bears hang around. The Bucs have too much late.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the love affair with the Bears from last week is over. It's just – I still think they go to Trubisky midway through this season just because the pressure is going to get there. And I think Glennon.
And they're liable to be 1-7 at that point, even if they're in a lot of games.
You
don't have a choice. The other thing with Tampa Bay that a lot of people are failing to mention, I saw a stat yesterday, 8 of their main guys didn't play in that third preseason game. So it's a month since they played a game. So, yeah, week one, you get fresh legs. They might be too fresh. There might be a lot of rust going on guys that haven't played. Some of their big receivers didn't play in that third preseason game. Jameis didn't play a ton. I think he played the first half, but it's been a while, so I think you're going to see a slow start from them.
Vegas loves the Oakland Raiders. 13-point favorites at home against the New York Jets.
They love the Raiders or hate the Jets?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think they hate the Jets and they love the Raiders. The Raiders looked really good. In week one, they go on the road to Tennessee, a team that pretty much collectively everybody really likes, and they are impressive. Marshawn Lynch looked explosive in moments where I was questioning what he was going to be this year. I don't know that he's going to be that guy healthy all year long, but he did look explosive in moments.
And violent. He was beast mode.
He was beast mode. And if he can be that guy all year long, man, oh man, Oakland is going to be a very tough football team.
I wasn't real high on their defense, and they played a lot more solid than I thought they would. They played very complimentary football in that Titans game. The Jets' offense is awful. Their defense is still pretty solid. They're going to be out there all day. I got the Raiders 34-13. The Jets are going all the way to the West Coast. I just don't see it happening any other way. I mean, maybe it's a little bit closer than that.
No, it's not close. This is a.
You've got great leadership from your quarterback on offense. I mean, they're not gonna overlook them.
This is a 3-score lead for Oakland. Like a 3-score win for Oakland. It's not gonna be pretty. The Jets just do not have, like you said, their defense is. And traveling across the coast is not something to be – I mean, it's tough to go 3 time zones over and play a football game in Oakland where it's an incredible atmosphere, and it's going to be crazy because they know that that stadium's not going to be there for much longer and they're moving.
It's still dirt. It's baseball season. You have that
aspect, that element
which is
of it.
Definitely different.
For sure. It's going to be ugly if you're a Jets fan. Sorry, Chris, sitting over there, producer Chris, because the Jets are terrible. I like making fun of the Bears, but at least they're not the Jets. I still have that. Miami at L.A. The L.A. Chargers play a very, very tough football game against Denver in week one. I really liked.
By the way, we picked that score.
Dead
on with the exact same thing we just said about the Steelers-Vikings. Could see it going the other way.
Yep. Spot on. And I thought that both of these teams, Miami, another team here where the week one rust, they did not play a football game last week. Jay Cutler is in this offense. It's his first game as a Miami Dolphin. So I think that team is going to be very interesting to watch just how rusty they are and how long it takes Jay Cutler to kind of get into a groove with that offense.
I'm not worried about Jay getting in a groove. I'm worried about Jay getting hit. What San Diego showed me the other night, they have some serious pass rushers.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of knew that, but that defense was pretty solid. Simeon played well for the Broncos against really explosive receivers. I love the potential of this Dolphins offense if the offensive line plays well. I think they're better with Cutler.
For sure.
But Jay doesn't like getting hit.
No, he doesn't. I can confirm that Jay doesn't like getting hit.
If they hit him early, interesting. How much rust is there? I think his timing's going to be fine. His arm strength's enough. The timing's off a little bit. He can kind of – he's one of those guys that can kind of overcome it. San Diego, I'm high on them. I just don't like that they play in that division. We've talked about it. They're good. They're solid.
They are a good football team.
They're going to get better when they get Mike Williams. I've got them winning at home 31-27.
Okay.
I think the Dolphins put up some points. I think they push them. I think it's a really fun game to watch, to be honest with you. But I think a lot of that depends on if they hit Cutler early. Maybe that's not the score. I think San Diego maybe wins a little more handily. If they don't, they could be in a shootout.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun game to watch just because the offensive talent on both sides of the ball. Loved what Melvin Gordon did in week one.
The defenses are kind of similar, too.
Yeah,
a couple
very
of decent
much.
Corners, good pass rushers, good defensive line. They're kind of similar teams.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Dallas going on the road. 2-point favorites against going to Denver. Denver, last week you saw Denver has an unbelievable home field advantage. Unbelievable.
Without the altitude.
Just the amount of times that Phillip Rivers could clearly not hear what was going on with his teammates was, I know it happens a lot in Arizona. I love that when the Cardinals, I know in the last 5 years or something, they're the team that draws people most offside. But over time, it's like they showed a stat, I think it was over the last 25 years, Denver, it's so far ahead of everybody else because it's incredibly loud and the altitude definitely is a factor on the road.
Denver showed me a lot. I didn't know how that defense would be with a new defense coordinator. They were 28th against the run last year, and they stopped Melvin Gordon pretty good. I think he had 54 yards rushing, something like that, with like a 15 on his first carry.
Yeah.
Simeon played well. He still got two really good receivers. The running back situation was okay. They ran it better than I thought they would. I don't think they're going to be blowing anybody's doors off, but I think what you saw from Denver was a lot like you're going to see in every game. They're going to be very solid. That defense is going to be really good. And by the way, Von Miller is still awesome.
Yeah.
There was a play the other night. It was like 3rd and 4, and he got there so fast. But it was a timeout or something. I forget what happened. But you're like, how was he not offsides? They replayed it 5 times and he wasn't.
Yeah, he's a freak in nature.
It was insane.
Yeah.
What did we see from the Cowboys? That game fit into what they do.
Yeah,
if they
absolutely.
Had the ball all day, they could run it. The Giants defense, who I really like, was out there all day because their offense was atrocious.
Yeah, Eli
Odell
was horrible.
Beckham Jr. cannot make that big of a difference. I think he does, but they can't allow that to happen. Their offensive line's either that bad. And Eli's worse than Cutler about getting hit and people on his feet. Brandon Marshall didn't know like he
non-factor.
Knew what was going on.
Non-factor.
Evan Ingram, you drafted in the first round, which was a stretch at tight end. He plays off the line of scrimmage in the slot, so you can't keep a tight end to chip. No big running back situation. I don't know what I learned other than I love Rod Marinelli. Can I say that too, by the way?
Yeah.
He's missing like 5 starters, and that defense played pretty good for the Cowboys. I've got the Broncos winning at home because I don't pick against them at home, 23-20.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. The upset alert there is I think
– I don't know how that's an upset.
Yeah,
I mean,
see
– I get that it is what it is. But.
Well, you know how people are with Dallas. It's the overhype of the century is the Dallas Cowboys.
They look better than
Cowboys.
I thought they would. I give them credit.
For sure, but the Giants did nothing on offense.
No, they didn't. And that defense was out there so long, they couldn't really do what they try to do.
Yeah, I mean, and you saw in the second half, they couldn't score. I mean,
it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. That was an ugly
I turned that game off.
Yeah, it was an ugly football
awful.
Game. Yeah, that was a bad football game. The overhyped team of the century is the L.A. Rams, and this is the Washington Redskins going on the road to play L.A. Will there be 10,000 people in attendance? The biggest question of the day.
How awful was L.A. and San Francisco?
Bad.
The picture of coming out of halftime that I saw in San Francisco for the opener.
Should never have moved that team to Palo Alto, California. 22 miles from San Francisco Bay. Like, does not make any sense at all. Palo Alto is not the place that you want to be. Not where your football fans are. I know that for sure.
Absolutely. So, I don't know what we saw from the Rams, other than it unraveled for Indy. And a lot of things went. You have a young head coach, first game. Lots of positive energy, a lot of change, and things just kind of went their way.
Yeah, the whole game.
Snowballed for them. No pass rush on Goff. He looked really good. Give him credit. It's by far the best he's played, but he had nobody hitting him all day. All those receivers are healthy. Cooper Kupp looked like a stud. And I love Wade Phillips. That defense is still going to be good. If Aaron Donald's back this week,
yeah,
you know what we think about him. I saw exactly from the Redskins what I thought I'm going to see, and I think they're going to get better week after week the more Cousins is with these receivers. I've got the Redskins going on the road and winning 27-21.
Ooh, another upset.
I just go back to what I saw in preseason and what you really see on paper. They're better. They're more solid all the way around. I'd like to maybe think, okay, all of a sudden I like what the Rams are doing. I don't know.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, I love their defense. Their secondary is really good. There's some matchup issues for the Redskins. I just think they're better.
You can't buy into what they did last week, though.
No,
because as far as a football game, that was a catastrophic football game for the Indianapolis Colts.
And it really set up for what I was saying, like with this young, energetic, we finally have some change here.
For
things
sure.
are going to go our way. And then it did. And it just unraveled for the Colts and snowballed in a good way for the Rams.
I would like to mention in the next matchup that you and I hit the nail on the head with the overreaction of the century, which is the Seattle Seahawks are still the Super Bowl team. They were 2-3 years ago. That offensive line is nothing short of garbage. It is so bad. They could not do anything offensively. And the reaction and what happens because of that is that you could not keep that defense off the field, and they got tired. And what happens when you get tired? People break you down. And
you're playing Aaron Rodgers,
for sure. Now
we said that. The offense is not going to be that good. Offensive line's not. They're going to have a lot of punts. That defense is going to be on the field 3 to 5 minutes more than they have been. That's a drive or two a game. That's points.
For sure.
That makes winning in the NFL very, very tough. We did nail that one exactly on the head. Now, I'm really high on the Packers.
Yeah, so am I.
A really tough team, Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers, they weren't that sharp
in
the first
half. Yeah, they were rusty in the first half.
They turned it on. Defense is really good, but they're not what they were a couple years ago.
Oh, they're 3 years older.
And they got an awful suspension, kicked out of the game thing with Lane. I mean, that whole thing was absolute garbage. So I'm 100% on their side on that one.
Yeah, but Seattle's a 2-touchdown favorite as of this morning in Vegas for San Francisco. Now,
a lot of that is what did we see from San Francisco? Were they that bad? Was Carolina's defense that good? Can they really not score points? That could be a 17-3, you know, kind of. That's where the two touchdowns come from. I've got it 24-10, Seattle. The offense is. The other thing is, what is their identity? There's three running backs. Who are they going to settle on? Lacy did nothing. I still think Carson's probably their best bet in that backfield.
That backfield,
but
they got
issues.
If you
can't run it, you can't play action.
Yeah.
And if Russell can't play action and bootleg, that offense doesn't really exist on what it's supposed to do. To me, they've still got issues. They're still going to be really good. They're going to win a lot of games. They're going to win this game. But they've got issues they need to fix. I don't know how you fix it.
Yeah, but I don't.
You can only have so many guys on your team that can play.
Well, and like I've heard from numerous people now, Gary Horton, one of my guys that I talk to regularly, who's a scout, he said he looks at what's going on with their offensive line, and it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter that Russell Wilson's there. It doesn't matter who your running back is. When your offensive line, when you spend 5% of your total overall salary to spend on your offensive line, Russell Wilson is running for his life. And they're going to play some tough defenses, and the Packers' defense is good, but not great. And they really showed something against the Seattle. So they're going to be in for a tough thing because the Niners' defense is not bad.
No, that front seven is solid. They're not going to run it very well on the 49ers. That's not going to happen. Can they hit a couple big plays with Lockett or Baldwin? Maybe. Jimmy Graham didn't show up in that first game.
That might go down as the worst trade for the Seattle Seahawks. Trading Max Unger to get
Pro Bowl center
who made that team what it was, and their offensive line how bad it is, and what little Jimmy Graham has given to the Seattle Seahawks, not very good. They think that because they have a good offensive line coach that he can coach up those guys, and he just hasn't been able to.
Cable's great.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
But as you said, you only have so many guys on your team that can play, and the offensive line is a place you got to have players.
For sure.
You got to have an identity. They're going to struggle.
Yeah. This is my upset alert of the week. This is the Sunday night football game. Green Bay going on the road. Atlanta, three-point favorite at home. Opening of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta struggled against the Chicago Bears team, and I know they were on the road, but I love Green Bay. I know that eventually there's going to be Sounders, and that's going to get thrown back in my face some point in time.
I love them too, I'll say that.
I love Green Bay, but I think I see them winning this game. I think it's like 24-23. It's a really, really close game. I like Atlanta, but I just love Green Bay, and I think they're going to go on the road and upset the Falcons.
Too many people are putting hype on the NFC Championship. Atlanta was as hot as you can get.
For sure.
At that point, Green Bay was beat to hell. They were nowhere near the team they're putting on the field this week. They're healthy. Their offense is healthy, which is great. You're going to see that, whatever you saw the last week. Their defense is healthy.
For sure.
Mike Brown dominated that game from the defensive line position, but they're solid all the way across. Dom Capers' defense, they're going to game plan. I still think Atlanta takes a step back this year. I don't think you can help get over this hangover. I know a lot of people are still high on them. They got a lot of talent. They didn't look that good last week.
No, they did not.
For all the same guys, that timing should have been better. There should have been more stuff going on for that offense. I really want to say like 31-27, but I don't think Atlanta puts up that many points. And I think maybe the Packers settle in a little bit. So we'll go with 28-24, but I still think the Packers win.
Oh, we're in agreement. All right.
To me, that's not an upset either.
Yeah.
I think Atlanta's getting too much credit for the Mercedes-Benz Dome opening and being at home.
It doesn't matter.
Atlanta's not a great home field advantage anywhere. I played there.
Yeah,
it wasn't now with all the excitement or whatever. But a couple of interesting notes on that game. Now, Aaron Rodgers is 0-4 against Dan Quinn teams, two in Seattle and two against Atlanta.
Interesting.
That was kind of like a hmm.
Well, that one game they should never have lost to the Seahawks is implanted in my mind. But
both teams are healthy. I think the Packers are hotter, and I think they have better timing. A lot of this comes down to, can Green Bay stop the run?
Mm-hmm.
Because that kills the play-action game, getting those deep ends to Julio, that kind of stuff. I think they stop it enough that they win the game.
Yeah,
I agree. I think it's a springboard for them to get on a really hot start to the season.
Yeah, I mean, if not for a few busted defensive plays for the Bears last week, I mean, they didn't do all that much. I mean, Austin Hooper had two huge plays for that team. Otherwise, they don't score that much in Chicago against a below-average defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, last game of the week, Monday Night Football, Detroit at the New York Giants. Giants 3-point.
Ding, 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 ding. I almost want to say it again.
Oh, here we go. Upset alert. 3-point favorites at home. Latest Vegas line, Giants getting 3 points. The thing here with New York is I want to buy into the fact that they're what I thought they were, but at the same time, I don't want to agree with you again that this could be an upset, but I kind of think Detroit could go on the road and win this football game.
Detroit showed me a lot. That defense was better than I thought they were going to be. The Cardinals' offense was not insane. Carson didn't play very well. We know all that, but they were solid.
Mm-hmm.
They hung in there against a bunch of weird stuff that happened in the first half for them, and Stafford got hot. That offense could be good. I like the running game, but they're going to be solid. They're better than a lot of these teams we're talking about. They're in a lot of games. They won another fourth quarter game. They won 8 last year and broke an NFL record. They went 9-7 and they won 8 of those games in the fourth quarter. Stafford's got something. It's not going to go away late. Odell Beckham Jr. coming back, I think, makes that big of a difference for them somehow. Maybe it's just the way that you defend him if he's on the field. I want to ring that bell and say that, but I feel exactly like I do for the Vikings-Steelers game. I'm going to go with the Giants at home. Mainly because they're at home and they can't start 0-2. We picked them to win the division.
Yep.
I got the same thing, 27-23, 27-24 right there. I think it's a really good game. I think the Giants, Eli's not going to play that bad 2 weeks in a row
either. No. And Odell's probably going to play.
I think they bounce back. And I just can't bring myself to say the upset yet because it's week 2 and I don't want to get into this.
We're going to get into too many upset alerts, huh?
Over yet. I mean, 1 or 2 a week's not a big deal. But
yeah, for sure.
Those are really, really close games.
Yeah.
And this is the hardest week to pick because you don't really know yet what you have until week 4 or 5. It's going to be, I feel pretty good about a lot of these, but it's still a really tough week. You see a lot of weird stuff in week 2.
All right, I won't pick against you. I think the New York Giants, I can't bring myself to say that the New York Giants are going to start off 0-2 when I am a big believer in that football team. And as much as Odell Beckham Jr. should not impact the offense. I saw what Antonio Brown did for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Odell Beckham Jr. is that same guy for the New York Giants. It just changes the game so much when everybody else around you is not doing very much. And that's what happened for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If Antonio Brown isn't out there offensively, they did not beat the Cleveland Browns. And I think that's very much what happens with the New York Giants.
That allows Brandon Marshall to not be the guy that's double teamed.
For sure.
Sterling Shepard's a week healthier than, you know, he got hurt in the preseason. Evan Engram was his first game as a rookie.
They're also at home.
That helps. You know, I just think really well-run organization. I don't think they play awful 2 weeks in a row, especially laying an egg on national TV on Sunday Night Football. Those are the things more than what I saw that are making me want to pick them.
Yeah, and as much as I like to make fun of Eli's face, I can't.
He was in mid-season form on the grumpy face.
Face was mid-season form by quarter two. I mean, it was unbelievable. I made a lot of memes. I'm sorry, Eli, if you're listening to the podcast. But, dude, seriously, your face, it's so memeable. Jake, any parting thoughts on week two?
We're going to learn a little bit more than we learned in week one. It's tough.
Yeah.
I don't feel great, other than the Packers, about a lot of teams, of what they've got going on. The Packers can't sustain a lot of injuries, but I think right now I learned a lot about them. I learned what I thought was pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Everybody else is still kind of up in the air.
Yeah, it's week two. By week four, I think we have a pretty good gauge on what these teams are, but week two will be interesting. Hopefully, not as many sloppy games. That's all I'm hoping for in week two, and that my fantasy teams continue to kick some ass, because, man, 3-0, I'd like to go 6-0. I'd like to start the season 6-0. All right, Jake, how can everybody follow you on Twitter?
Jake B as in Bruce Arians. Easy to find.
Yeah, that's easy to find. And you can always find me, @_sports_page on Twitter. That's Page with an I. For Jake Arians, I'm Paige DeMacos. This has been The Sports Page.